Yeah, that's a good word about suffering. At Horizons, we hear a lot of stories about people suffering for the gospel, people suffering to just choose the gospel, not about trying to share the gospel somewhere else, but actually just believing it for themselves. There's lots of suffering. There's a lady actually in South Africa that, ironically, I did not meet before we moved here, but she lives in the same city that we lived in, and she's on staff with us at Horizons. So she does a lot of training. She goes to the mosques and has a good relationship with the imams, and she gets invited to churches. She works with different universities, Christian universities, and does teaching on Muslim evangelism, apologetics, and theology around that whole sphere. She messaged me, it's been about 6 weeks or so ago, that a lady gave her life to Christ. She was a Muslim lady, and she was shortly arrested afterwards, after she'd told her husband, who went to the police and said that she'd stolen a bunch of his things and all these other things. So she gave her life to Christ, and pretty much within about 48 hours found herself in jail for about a week. And then so our staff member, Nicole is her name, has been walking alongside her and helping her with finding a lawyer and encouraging her and sending her different encouragements that our staff and people are kind of sending her way. And yeah, so suffering. South Africa. Yeah, so Nicole, our staff member, lives in South Africa, and it was a lady in her area from her time actually sharing at a mosque, I believe, is how she met her. Approached her later that day, I think, and then ended up giving her life to Christ. So you guys want to keep her in mind, in prayer. You know, she could really use it. She's lost her husband in her home, has been accused of being a thief, all because she chose to believe in Jesus. So before we go much further into what I'm doing, let's go to the book of Acts real quick, chapter 17. If has anybody read the June newsletter I put out? I send one to Calvary. I talk about it a little bit in the newsletter. Are you on the mailing list? Do you get one at home? But you're not. You don't get one in the mail?
No.
Okay. I'll need to fix that. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's there in the back. So I started doing the old-fashioned mailings again. I started thinking, nobody uses social media the way they used to. We use it, at least I do. I use it as a way to shut off, not to find out real stuff, unless I'm intentionally looking for a news article or something. And then, I mean, how many emails do we all get a day? So, and when we are doing emails, usually it's business related or, you know, responsibility related. So I was like, you know what? Everybody loves getting a letter in the mail now, because the only thing you get in the mail is bills and, you know, junk mail. So I decided in December to try and do the old-fashioned mailing again. So it's the way I grew up at home. Every, I don't know, 3 months or 6 months, I don't remember that dad's frequency, but we'd come home from school, we'd see a big stack of mailing stuff. Envelopes that needed stuffed, and stickers that needed sticked, and all that. And licked. That was before they had the peel and stick envelopes. So, okay, so Acts chapter 17. Would somebody like to read? Just kind of stand up and read from verse 22. Anybody? I have a mic. I'm happy to do it, but it's a small room. From 22 to the end of the chapter, so 12 verses. Acts 17:22. Let me split it up. Let's do 22 through 28, and then you can pick up from 29. Yeah, from 22. Arapagite. Thanks, guys. So I mentioned this section, this passage in that newsletter for June, and I shared a little bit, very briefly on it when I was in Texas a month ago, sharing about our conference called Legacy Conference. I can share about that in a little bit. But this verse is a very encouraging verse to anyone who is struggling with frustration, fear, anger, confusion, you know, all of the feelings about the mass immigration that we've really, truly seen in the U.S. over the last 5 years. And it's been happening before that, too. But definitely, the dams kind of opened up about 5 years ago. And Islam is a growing thing in America. You know, I've been to Dearborn since I've started with Horizons. I've spent quite a bit of time in Dearborn. I've just spent 2 weeks in Dallas over the last 6 weeks or so. And Dallas has a very, very large Muslim population there. It's probably growing in Evansville some too. And there's a lot of feelings, mixed feelings. But here, you know, in this passage, we actually see a lot of the whole gospel just kind of in this little section here. We see that God created everything that exists. God created. Then we see, separate from that, also like we see in Genesis, that God created man. And then we also learn that God created all of mankind through that one man. So, all of this mankind includes Muslims. So he made for them one man, every nation of mankind, so every nation of mankind, to live on the face of the earth. And then here's the encouraging part. And it's encouraging if you want it to be. And then your only route to stay bitter is to be bitter at God from this point forward. Is that God has determined and allotted the periods, so the times in history, and the boundaries of the people of their dwelling places, so where they live, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him, even though He's actually not far from us. So, God, it's by no chance that God has allowed. That's an odd structured sentence. It is by no chance that Muslims and other refugees and immigrants are flooding to the U.S. And it's no chance for us to have the opportunity to take part of what God is calling them to, and that is Himself. So, that is what I find myself doing with Horizons. Is to, in many ways, different projects and things, but to rally the church and encourage the church, encourage the believers that we do have a responsibility to love these Muslim people that are moving into our cities and partaking in politics. Their kids are going to school with our kids. We're co-workers with them. To see them the way that Luke is explaining to us how Paul was speaking in Athens at the Areopagus. is to see them that way, that they are God's creation. His image is in them. And I think I've said it before here when I've shared at the church here in the past, that we're not, when we share the gospel with a Muslim, we're not trying to save them from Islam. Islam is not the separation between God and man. Our sin is. So Muslims are sinners like the rest of us. And that is the message they need to hear. That Islam is, it's an issue in between us and sharing the gospel, but is not what they're being saved from. Christ's work on the cross is what saves them from their sin. And that's the saving grace for all Muslims and for all people. So, thank you for listening to me. Simply teaching the Bible simply. I put that one to the test, the Calvary Chapel motto. As everybody, who does not know what ministry I work for? Anybody? Just trying to figure out how. You don't know anything? Okay. Sure. So in February of 24, I started with Horizons International. When we moved back to the U.S., prayed a long time about what we were going to do. It took us, we landed in May of 23, and then I started in February of 24. And so I am now the director of training for North America for Horizons, which is a new update from the newsletter. They switched my title from training coordinator about a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago, 6 weeks. So Horizons has been around for, I think this is our 36th year, maybe 37th. Some point since I started, we had our 35th anniversary. It all feels like a blur. A big learning curve from working in counter-human trafficking ministry to Muslim ministry. And, you know, so that learning curve just kind of makes it all feel like a blur. And on a curve, right, you look at a point in time and you can kind of see it closer than it actually is because it's curved, right? Okay. So we have, it started in the U.S. It started as international student ministry in Boulder, Colorado, 37 years ago through George Husney. So George is our founder and president, and then his son Pierre is now our director. Pierre is located and resides in Beirut, Lebanon. He was raised in Boulder. George grew up in Lebanon, but then resides in Boulder. And so we have a very large ministry operation in Beirut, well, not just Beirut, in all of Lebanon. We have three different schools of hope. They're called schools of the School of Hope, but there's three of them. And we just opened our third one just within about, I guess right at a month ago. And that one's got about 20 students, another one's got 60 students, and the other one has 220 students. And it's pretty much all Syrian children that are not able to get an education in Lebanon as Syrian refugees. We started this. These three schools, we're very open with the Syrian families that we're a Christian school. They're going to receive a Christian education. They're going to learn how to read and read the Bible, and we do Bible studies, and we'll be praying with them. And then the families are like, please, just educate our kids. We're fine with that. And then it's been going on for a number of years. We see most of the children give their lives to Christ, and then a lot of the families follow suit afterwards. So that's a pretty cool ministry that we've got there. We have a media center where we've got different media outlets where we have a lot of, we have a TV channel called Pure Heart TV, which is all in Arabic. And it's mostly, I think it's on YouTube. I don't watch it because it's all in Arabic. And I don't speak Arabic. I know a couple words, and that's about it. Actually, I don't know any bad words in Arabic. So there's that, too. So we've got other ministry centers. There's about 145-ish evangelical churches in Lebanon, and we are directly partnered with about 135 of them. So we offer all kinds of pastoral training and support, evangelism training. We offer financial assistance if the church wants to upgrade when I was there in October last year, there was a church wanting to upgrade their parking lot, and I think that we were going to help them with the expenses on upgrading their parking lot. So just kind of different needs and stuff like that, and I think they do like worship events where they kind of all the churches come together and they have a big worship and outreach night out in public somewhere. So Lebanon is an open country. Christianity is legal. That's why we started the Middle East Center for World Missions as kind of over there as kind of like the gateway to the Middle East. So it's open. People can come in freely with Christian agendas, and we can train them in mission work, and then we can kind of send them off from there. It's kind of like the larger vision for our Middle East Center that we call the MEC. So that's where our media center is. We have a coffee shop and conference center, and all of our media team is based out of there too, right in Beirut. So that's Horizons. And then on the North American side is mostly training. So I coordinate a lot of trainings, make trainings happen, do a lot of strategy for our training programs, which one of those programs is called the Legacy Conference, which I just finished last Sunday. I got home from that. And we had about 200 people in Dallas that joined us for a conference on missions, Muslims, and the heart of God. That's our slogan. So we had a guy named Dr. Hormaz Shariat. That's H-O-R, if any of the note takers want to look him up. H-O-R-M-O-Z-S-H-A-S-H-R-I-A-T. No, S-H-A-R-I-A-T. Shariat. He has a ministry called Iran Alive Ministries. So, I Am. I thought it was a pretty cool name. So he was one of our main speakers, of course, obviously, along with our founder, George, who, by the way, Jennifer, he's very well known for his work translating the Arabic Bible from the original texts, from the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic into Arabic. So it's not is it a transliteration, or is that right? When it's been translated into English, and then we take the English and go into Arabic, that would be a transliteration. Is that the correct? There's another term for it. I don't know what it is. But it's a direct translation. And he's actually currently working on a revision for that. But I think he did that back in the 80s. So, where was I? Dallas, thank you. Legacy. So, we bring in guys like Dr. Hormaz and other well-known guys it's very topical. So, it's conference style, right? So, it's just different topics. As opposed to like our training, I get this question a lot. What's the difference between legacy and our engage training? Which I'll share about that in a second. So very topical, and you know, Hormaz is he's got a very successful ministry. They've seen thousands, like tens of thousands of Muslims coming to Christ. And through various ways. He's got satellite TV channels and all kinds of stuff that they do. And his focus is obviously with Iran Alive Ministries. His focus is in Iran. So another thing that we have, one of our flagship trainings is called Engage Muslims with Christ training. And so that's more linear. We start at A and we end at Z in concept, right? So obviously just like it's a training. So it builds, the next section builds on the previous rather than just topical like our legacy conference. So I'm happy and excited to share. Well, I was just in Beirut in October because we were re-recording our Engage Muslims with Christ training to get it online, as being able to take that course online, which we have it online, but the teachings are very old. So we're updating the media and the teachings. Well, the teachings are basically the same, but we're having that. That's a big project that I'm working on at the moment. And then coming in August 28th and 29th, I'll have George back in Evansville to do an Engage Muslims with Christ Level 2. So the material is good. If you've not taken the first course, the material is still good. You're not going to have many missing gaps. You know, it just kind of it doesn't build off of the level one so much that you're not going to... I mean, it's just like, well, I haven't read the book of Mark, so I mean, I don't know if I can read the book of Luke yet, right? So it's fine. It's good. It's biblically based. One of the things that separates our training on Muslim evangelism from a lot of other trainings is ours takes I hate to say biblical approach because I'm not trying to put down other trainings, but a lot of other trainings focus on the apologetic side, the logical side of like, this is what Islam does, and this is what the Quran says, and then this is what the Bible says. But we look at it as we are sharing the gospel with people. So the first barrier to bring down is that they're just people. They're God's creation that needs to hear the gospel. And we can learn a lot from what Jesus and Paul taught about how, from their example on how they dealt with the Jews at the time, that we can take those principles and apply them to a deeply heavy religious people with the gospel. So it's largely biblically based. We cover some of the things and kind of bring some understanding of Islam, but we don't focus on the Quran. We don't focus on Islam a whole lot. We focus on scripture and teaching and different approaches for like how to approach somebody with an Eastern mindset, an Eastern way of thinking. They don't think the same way that Westerners think. So we talk about those kinds of things too. So that's going to be August 28th and 29th. I would love to have all of you guys there. That's going to be out at New Beginnings. And we're going to be recording that and turning that into the second part of the teaching that we just did in Beirut. So, going forward, let me just take a break from those things and say another big update for us is that we actually, in about 10 days, Lord willing, we're moving to Idaho. So, North Idaho, right next door to Spokane, Washington. So, 10 minutes from Spokane, Washington. We've sold our house here in Evansville. We're living temporarily in a duplex in Washington, Indiana, renting from my brother-in-law. And the plan is to go there. And out there, I'm still working with Horizons and building and continuing everything the same, just kind of more opportunity up there in the Northwest. There's, from what I've been able to tell, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, I know, I'm sure there are some churches and believers trying to do things to reach Muslims and immigrants and refugees, but there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of efforts moving that direction. You go to Dallas, all kinds of churches are intentionally trying to connect with and reach Muslims with the gospel. Dearborn, obviously, as well. As you guys know, we've spent a bunch of time up there doing that with multiple churches and Christian organizations. So I'm hoping I can kind of stir a bit more of efforts kind of going in that direction. And in one of those ways is the Nehemiah Network. So the Nehemiah Network, just like, you know, taking our cues from what Nehemiah did by gathering people, kind of like, all right, you're in this section here. You are in charge of putting together this part of the wall. You guys are next. So you guys put this part of the wall and then build them so that they join. So we can do together, we can do more together than we can do on our own. And so we've taken that concept of looking at, hey, how do we reach these refugees, immigrants, international students living in our city? We can do more together than we can do on our own. So we've started the Nehemiah Network. And this is it's a slow-moving project, partly because the material that we have, it's kind of a resurrected project from 20 years ago that George put together. And we're redoing the manual. So my hopes and vision for this program is to see it having like as like a guide, so you can get the guide and you can get the kit. So it can be autonomous if it needs to be, that you can get the guide and the kit and you can start one in your city. and then we can come in and support you if you want to do that. So we actually have one in Evansville right now without a guide or a kit called the city coordinator is named Megan Danks. Does anybody know Megan? So she's our city coordinator, and the way it works is you have a city coordinator and you've got church coordinators. So churches that are interested in wanting to be a part of the Nehemiah Network, they appoint a church coordinator, and that person is responsible for communicating with their church and rallying people together and saying, hey, we're doing this night, you know, can you come? And then feeding the international people into a friendship partner program where we kind of pair them up as with friends. And you just kind of commit to being, a phone call a week and being together in person once a month. And just kind of a way to encourage, build relationships, and always, you know, gospel forward. Never hiding our faith, never sneaking it around after, like, being friends for 6 months, but then we've never spoken about our faith or asked them about theirs and made those efforts in conversation. So being very forward about our faith and sharing the gospel. So the next one, I believe, is June 23rd. And would you believe it? You guys are sitting right where it happens. So the Nehemiah Network's first meeting was last month, and our next one is going to be June 23rd. And the church and Smile has offered us the use of the space. So, I don't know. I think it's 6. I don't think they changed the time. Emily, do you remember? Was it 6 last time? So, 6 p.m. here. So, I'm working with our content team and some other people, some older guys that have been around for a long time with Horizons and have seen the Nehemiah Network, and we're kind of working on how we can craft together our guide and the starters kit on doing that. And then even before, obviously, with Evansville, even before we had that all done, I'm still trying to get things stirred up. So I'm still hoping to do the same in Idaho. Spokane's like 10 minutes away. It's got a lot more internationals. Idaho, unfortunately, is very white. But Spokane is... it's much more diverse. There's a big mosque and stuff there. And so hoping to get a lot of things kind of moving out there with the Nehemiah Network. And another big vision that I'm really hoping to kind of see come to fruition in the next year, maybe two, is a missions school, like a missions and evangelism school. So our training course, Engage Muslims with Christ, used to be a 6-week school. You would have to come and you'd have to stay, and it was an intensive 6 weeks with practical application pretty much every day after a day's of work in the classroom. And then over the years, it kind of dwindled, and it was a week, and then it became a weekend thing. So we actually do the whole Engage Muslims with Christ training now on a Friday night and all day Saturday. But we have enough material for a minimum 6-week school, and actually longer by adding other things that we could. So if you guys can pray about all of those things, keep those in prayer for us. For the moving part and for our family and the personal stuff, but then also all of the ministry stuff, opportunity, and for staff, we could really use more staff in the training department. And so that's something that I'm praying about a lot lately, is to be able to successfully get all of these things off the ground. We could definitely use more staff in those areas. Yes. No. Oh, he's interning with, yes. So Dan Sullivan, anybody know Dan Sullivan?
Yeah.
Old Danny boy. Khaki Dan. Yeah, so Dan, Isaac Sullivan is Dan's, is he his oldest? I don't remember which placement Isaac is, but I met with Isaac pretty soon after I first started with Horizons, and because he had known about Horizons and then wanted to meet over coffee, so we met at Parlor here off of Green River Road and had coffee and talked about ministry stuff. And then June 6th, so what's today, the 14th? So just last week, he, is that right, 12? 8 days. Thank you, Kathy. He left for Lebanon. He started a 1-year internship with us in Beirut. So he's I'm fresh off the boat. So, does anybody have any questions about anything I've talked about or just about Muslim ministry?
I just like the approach that you take instead of telling them how bad Islam is and all the things there, that you just go start right with Christ.
Yeah.
That's just wonderful. I need to think about that.
Yeah. We did our own survey, and 60% of former Muslims, now Christians, I think we surveyed 120. 60% of them had a vision or a dream of Jesus. And that's our ministry's survey. It wasn't taken from somewhere else.
Was that before they heard about Jesus?
Usually, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I had a guy named Alisher Murr, who is from Uzbekistan. He shared his testimony at our conference in Dallas last week. And he didn't have the vision of Jesus. He had a revelation through Scripture because he was in like a debating Bible study group. And he was a part of the Dawah, which is where you go and study apologetics of Islam. And so very devout, very smart guy, had been, you know, built this relationship with this believer. They would go and they would debate each other's faith. And eventually over time, Alistair began reading the book of Psalms when he was feeling anxious or stressed out, and found a lot of peace in the book of Psalms. And eventually that led to him reading the New Testament. Had an experience with the Lord, you know, wasn't sure, so he called the guy. It was like 2 a.m. He called the Bible study guy, and he's like, Alistair, can this wait till tomorrow? And he's like, no, it can't. He's like, I got to tell you. So he's like, well, look, just pray about it. Just don't make any decisions right now. Don't say you're a Christian yet. Pray about it and ask God to show you. And so he prayed about it. And was, you know, really struggling with, like, is it right to follow Jesus? And 3 months later, he's at the mosque for Friday prayers, and his imam, the guy that's been discipling him in the Dawah, comes up and he says, Alistair, I'm glad to see you. I had a dream about you last night. You were in it. And basically, it was the Christ appeared in the dream and said, it's okay to follow me. And so Alistair looks at him and he says, well, who do you think the guy was? And then the imam says, well, I mean, of course it was Jesus, but it was just a nonsense dream. But it was actually the answer to Alistair's prayer. And so he, at that point, gave his life to Christ and secretly considered himself a believer and didn't tell anybody. He said, yeah, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I know the stories about all the hippies getting saved and they celebrate by smoking another joint. But Alistair didn't know what to do, so he kept going to the mosque. And he'd go to the mosque, he'd say his prayers, but he's like, I just wouldn't pray those prayers, I would just pray to Jesus. And he finally calls up the guy and he says, hey, I got to tell you something. This is months later, 3 months, I believe. He says, I gave my life to Jesus 3 months ago. I'm a Christian now. And he's like, Alistair, you've got to come over to the study tonight. which had the other guys from the Dawah coming. And he's like, no, he's like, I can't do it. I don't want anybody to know yet. You know, like, I'm not ready for that. And he says, Alistair, there's something you don't understand. You need to come tonight. We're having a barbecue. Make sure you're there. So Alistair came to the barbecue and then discovered shortly after or during the barbecue that the other three guys from the Dawah had given their life to Christ 3 months ago. So, yes, dreams and visions. That's a good way to ask if you encounter somebody who you think is probably Muslim in the marketplace or wherever you're at. You can just strike up a conversation with them and ask them, have you ever had a dream that you wondered if it was Jesus? And then they might, if they have, they can tell you the dream, and then you can interpret it with Scripture. So Horizons has the giving page on their website, horizonsinternational.org. And you just click on donate, give. I'm not sure what the word is. And it'll take you to that page. And there you can actually scroll through all of the designations. So everybody that raises support, but also all of the different ministries. You know, there's one for the training department. There's one just for the Legacy Conference. There's one for the MEC. There's one for the School of Hope. And I wouldn't be surprised if there is actually a designation for each of the different schools, possibly. So, yeah, you can go there and you can scroll through and find all the designations. We are on that designation list. You can also go to our family website, which is thefullerhouse.org. And on there, there's just a quick little blurb about who we are, what we do. And then I have a little carousel thing that you can also scroll through that kind of unpacks a bit about Horizons, what Horizons does, what I do for Horizons, and like kind of my personal mission and vision within Horizons' mission and vision. That's all on their website. And then the blog, every time I write a newsletter, I try and throw that up on the blog as well. So you can look for that there too. And then there's the support page. If you want to support us monthly, you can click on however I worded it on the website. And it takes you to our specific designation within the Horizons giving page. Yeah. So George likes to say when he does the training that he's going to let you know what the secret is to sharing the gospel and how to start. And it's, you've already said it, it's hi. So just like anything, like you would be curious about anybody else, he's saying hi, and, you know, like within the context of what's happening, and just starting a conversation with anybody. So I know that the hijabs and, you know, the things and mystery that kind of are behind a hijab causes a lot of uncertainty. Like, I don't know how to talk to this person, but really they're just a person that has the same desires and hopes like most of us. You know, whether it's, can they afford steak for supper this evening from the grocery store, or is it just going to have to be chicken again? You know, like a new car, or, you know, just, I wish I had more time with my kids. Just normal people. So really, hi is the best place to start. Sharing your name, asking theirs, you know, asking them, how long have you lived here? You know, there's, Indiana's not historically, you know, Muslim. So they've converted, or they've moved from somewhere that is historically Muslim. So, yeah, it's okay to be curious about someone's culture from the countries that they're from. I mean, people are on guard a little bit, right? I'm sure that it'd be hard to live in another country that has a lot of confusion and anger about what's going on. So, but I mean, just like anybody, we're curious. You see somebody that looks like they're not from here because they just dress differently. Maybe they're barefoot, like one of the Fuller kids. Be like, hey, are you from here? Actually, I am. Be like, okay, yeah, never mind. Yeah, Kathy? It's a mixed bag. So, the church, I was talking with the pastor before I spoke a month ago at the church in Dallas. He was telling me that he just had a conversation that week with a church member that was just confessing that they're just flat out angry. So there's a lot of confusion, like I was saying, like it's mixed with like culture and then the religion and then we don't know what to do or say. And it's, it's just very confusing, all kinds of different reasons for it. Some people just because they're worried about being like mean or racist by asking them where they're from or what their culture is, or they really are just struggling with being angry and kind of getting past that own personal barrier. So I think that it's important that the church really knows that Muslims are created in God's image, that they're not this other, the juxtaposition between Islam and Christianity is wide. But that doesn't mean because they're wide and ideologically they're enemies that they're a separate group from the rest of creation. So that's what I think that the church needs to hear and be reminded of. I mean, you just named them. Yeah, all of those things. They are evangelizing. I know that there's a mosque in Fishers, Indiana, that is trying to make Fishers the new Dearborn. And they've got programs and stuff running for youth on how to use apologetics within Islam to defeat Christian arguments. They're making a lot of efforts to try and do that. They do have a lot more babies than most Americans. They are getting involved in politics so that they can, have more say and sway in the laws that are being passed. There's kind of all of the ways. And, I mean, they're not hiding it. They're not hiding the fact that they're trying to continue to make Islam take over not just the city, not just the state, but the U.S. They're not hiding about it. They're very bold and forward about it, and I think that we need to be. But we need to be doing it in a way that's kind and loving in an approach that Christ would have used to the people that need him most. Now, Christ was harder on the leaders, but the people that we're going to interact with in the shopping malls and anywhere else, they're just people that they need to hear the love of Christ. They need to hear the truth of the gospel, not being forced to hear how the Quran is wrong. We have a lot of the same founding fathers that are in the Quran, but their stories are all jumbled together and mixed up, and that's a method that people use to share the gospel, is that they start with saying, hey, this is wrong, you can't trust this, but then as soon as you say that, they're going to put a wall up. I would, if someone first came to me and they wanted to tell me how they found all of these problems in the Bible and how it's not trustworthy and how it's been corrupted and there's all kinds of mistranslations and Jesus was actually this and not that. I'm just like, you know, yeah. But I would actually be more open to a conversation if they wanted to tell me what they thought and what they believed, the positive and not the negative. And not that I personally, you know, would agree to be, okay, fine. But, yeah. Yeah, they're very open about it and very forward about it. So, our director, I was with him in Pennsylvania last year, and he was teaching the Engage course, and a Muslim said to him that he was sharing the gospel with, he's just like, are you trying to convert me? And Pierre thought about it for a second, and he said, yeah. Yeah, I am. I am trying to convert you. So, there's nothing wrong with having that attitude. We're not converting people to a religion. We're trying to bring them into the truth and reality of God and His Son's service and work on the cross. Yeah. There's lots of outreach, and there's actually lots of space to connect with Muslim women. Their husbands are usually at work. We have house visiting program in Beirut because the men are off at work and the ladies are just home alone. Park, you know, if you're in an area that has a lot of Muslim people, the ladies take their kids to the park a lot. They're very outdoor people. They like the parks. They like to play outside and go on walks. So during the day, you find a lot of Muslim women at the park that you can strike up conversations with and build relationships and friendships with. So I would say it's actually probably easier to connect with the women than with the men. I mean, every story is a little bit different. So sometimes the man's just like indifferent. Sometimes he's, you know, adamantly against it. And you know, like we saw with this lady in South Africa, who basically was kicked out of her house and then arrested because he made false allegations. So it's hard. Because their religion and their faith is wrapped up in their entire identity. It's also wrapped up in their livelihood. You know, there's small villages in around Kosovo that if you become a Christian, you can't buy groceries. And there's nowhere to walk or travel to get groceries. But they find out you're a Christian, you can't even buy food because the shops won't sell to you. So there's, you know, that's the reality of what's going on with that, but it's not stopping people from stepping into the truth and repenting and following Christ. So George often says that there are more Muslims coming to Christ in the last 10 years than the entire history of Islam. So when you put that up against Acts 17:26, where it talks about God appointing times and boundaries to be able to find him, if you sit there long enough and look at that scripture and get the goosebumps. My wife is telling me we have to go. You can give your mailing address to Bob or my parents, Andy and Nina, and then I'll add you to the list. I'll also always send some to the church here. Well, thank you everybody for listening to me and It's a blessing to have you guys. You guys, you know, Calvary supports us monthly, has for a very long time. And, yeah, I mean, we are able to continue doing what we're doing and building what we're building for the kingdom because of what you guys do for us, too. So we're very grateful for your partnership.
Okay, so my brother sent him to come